In about a week and a half, we're going to be celebrating Independence Day, the 4th of July, which is becoming one of my favorite holidays. And one of the reasons for that is that a couple of years ago, after we moved here, Tammy and I decided that we were going to have kind of a little family reunion over the 4th of July. And it's kind of become a thing in our family. And so, for instance, next weekend, this coming weekend, all three of my kids are going to be back. My mom and dad are coming, my aunt and uncle, my brother and sister and their families. People are kind of coming and going all of the time and will be for about a week. So it's a lot of fun. The very first year that we did this, I ran across a quote from John Adams. And maybe you've seen this. It's, where's my sermon slides? Can you pull up 8 o'clock? I know they're in 8 o'clocks. Let me just read, I'll read you the quote while he's doing that for me. The quote is, "It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations, from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore." Sounds like a lot of fun. When I first read this quote, after that, whenever anybody would ask me what I was doing for 4th of July, I would say, "Bonfires and illuminations is what we're going to be doing for the 4th of July." And every year since then, we've tried to have as many of the things on John Adams' list for the 4th of July as we could. I'm not sure we've had gunfire yet. That was on the list. But I can tell you this, now that illuminations are officially legal in Iowa, that's made that a little bit easier and a little less risky than it had been before. We also have the makings for a really enormous bonfire this year, which I'm kind of looking forward to. So the 4th of July is the day we celebrate our freedom and our liberty as Americans. But there's one thing that's really important to remember, and that is that our founding fathers weren't anarchists. They weren't about freedom for its own sake. They believed in a country that would be ruled by law, that all people would fall under the rule of law. There would no longer be kings. There would no longer be tyranny that would come in that form. They believed in a government that would be of the people and by the people and for the people. And for the most part, that is what we have. If you've ever traveled overseas, if you've ever gone to another country and spent much time in another country, one of the first things that you notice is certain things that you might take for granted in your own country, in the United States. I've spoken many times to missionaries that have, including my own son, who spent a couple of years in India. And one of the things that they almost to a person will talk about when they come back to the United States is the level of corruption that they find or that they see present at all levels of government in these other countries. Just as an example, if you want to get a building permit, a driver's license, a travel visa, if you want to do anything official, you have to be prepared to bribe someone. It's just baked into the system. That's just how things are done. It's corrupted from the top to the bottom. It's pretty much corrupt. And don't even get me started on traffic laws. You might think that people flout traffic laws in this country. You've never seen anything until you've tried to drive in Mexico. If you've ever been, a couple of years ago, well, it's been longer than that now, I came back from a vacation in Mexico, and I had this kind of aha moment when I realized that I had a really great illustration of what it means to be an American. What it means to be an American, this is going to sound a little silly, is that when we come to a stoplight, we stop. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, with nobody around, we stop. Why is that? They don't do that in other countries. They think that was absolutely ridiculous that they would do that. Why is it that we do that? Because we believe in the rule of law. There it is. It's just a really simple illustration, but I think it really captures that. Freedom is important to us, absolutely. But obviously there's something more going on there, isn't there? It's got to be something more going on than just that. And we find the same thing in Scripture as well. One of the first things that we learn about God is that God is a liberator, right? He frees the people from their bondage in Egypt. He frees them from their slavery. It's the kind of at the heart of what it means to be a person of God and to be the people of God. They were freed from bondage. But just days later, God gave them the law on Mount Sinai. He didn't just give them freedom for anything. He ordered their life. He gave them purpose. He said, this is what it looks like to live faithfully in this freedom that you now have. And the same thing is true as disciples of Christ. We believe that in Jesus Christ, we have been freed from bondage to sin and death. It's a big part of what we are. Pastor Brian chose some songs last night at our Saturday Night Alive service. I didn't realize how many of the songs that we sing lift up our freedom in Jesus Christ. But Jesus also said that as disciples of Jesus, as faithful followers of God, that we also must seek first the things of God's kingdom and God's righteousness. That's what it's all about. It's not just about freedom. God wants us to be free, but with that freedom comes responsibility, comes purpose. And we don't always get it right. And that's not anything new either. So we open up the very first pages of Scripture. What do we find? God gave Adam and Eve freedom to eat whatever they wanted in the Garden of Eden. There's only one rule. Only one tree that was forbidden. And they couldn't even get that right. But here's the thing. They were free to make a bad choice. See, that's what makes us human. They were free to choose to make a choice that was destructive, that wasn't helpful. And so what do we learn from this story? We learn that freedom can be abused and freedom can be lost if you're not careful. If it's abused, it can be lost. And oftentimes is. That's what we learn from that story. The Apostle Paul understood the struggle that we sometimes have with freedom. You wouldn't think that would be something we struggle with, but it is. Even the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And we get a taste of it in his letter to the Galatians. Actually, that's really what the whole letter is about in many ways. But this is just a short section from Galatians 5. Paul writes, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Not only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So what's going on in Galatians is that Paul is dealing with a subject that was a hot topic in the early church. And you can understand why when you think about it. The question that had arisen in the church was, do these Gentiles, that means all of us, these non-Jews who are coming into the church, must they follow Jewish law? Just as Jesus had, just as all the first disciples had, which meant circumcision, it meant dietary laws, it meant all of that stuff that you're reading in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all of that. Do they have to follow it too? Well, there was a group of they call them Judaizers in the church that were saying, if you want to be a Christian, you have to follow the law, just like Jesus did. I mean, and you could see how they would make a case for that. But Paul was like, uh-uh. For freedom, Christ has set us free, and we're not going to go back to slavery. We're not going to fall back into legalism. It didn't work the first time. It's not going to work this time either. But Paul was also not under any illusions about human nature. He also knew that there was going to be a struggle, that it was very easy to go one way or the other and to lose that freedom, whether it be through sin or whether it be through legalism, falling back again into slavery under the law. We see this kind of in our own history. The founding fathers, in about 242 years ago, next week, made their Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. And it was a bold statement about freedom. And that's why John Hancock signed his name so big. He wanted them to know on the other side of the Atlantic that he meant it, that they all meant it, that they were going to be free. And so we lift that up as kind of like, you know, freedom's finest hour. But here's the thing. There's another date that we don't celebrate. Some of you may know this, but on September 17th, 1786, 10 years later, they signed the Constitution. And they sent it to the states for ratification. It was a necessary limiting of our freedom, an ordering of our freedom, very similar to what God did with the Israelites by giving them the law at Mount Sinai. It was a way that people could commit themselves to something much bigger than themselves. Our nation would never have happened if it hadn't been for what happened 10 years after that Declaration of Independence. That's the reason you stop at a stoplight in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, when no one's around. That's the reason. We are a people who believe in the rule of law for everyone. And we devote ourselves to that. We devote ourselves to this idea of something bigger. And that's something that we all have to do at the individual level too. I can remember my own experience of declaring independence. Maybe some of you have similar stories. My Declaration of Independence came when my parents dropped me off at the freshman dormitory at Iowa State in 1980. And I can tell you that I was abusing my freedom before my mom and dad even got out of the parking lot. I mean, I was going to take advantage of that freedom, and I did. But here's the lesson I learned really quickly, especially when those D's and F's started showing up on my report card. Freedom without responsibility can take you places you don't want to go. I needed to have some order in my life. I had to have some, either coming from within or from without, or hopefully from both, if I was going to have any kind of success, if things were going to go well for me at all. And I think that's what Paul was getting at when he said, don't use your freedom to, in this version it says, to satisfy your sinful nature. Don't take this as an opportunity to abuse yourself or abuse others. That's not the direction that you want to go. So that's one direction that we can goof up and lose our freedom. But on the other side, he also warns, don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Don't think that fanatical adherence to the law is going to save you either. It didn't work before, it's not going to work now. So as I was thinking about it this week, it occurred to me that he gives us basically three options, or these are the three options when it comes to living in this freedom that we have in Christ. One is licentiousness, the other is legalism, and the last one is love. So licentiousness, that's what I experienced, you know, when I got my first whiff of freedom. It's when we think God's grace and forgiveness gives us the license to sin. So Paul dealt with this in other places too. He even asked the question, hey, if God's grace covers all sin, why not live it up? Right? Man, just do whatever you want because God's going to forgive it. All you have to do is ask. How awesome is that? It's a license to sin. And Paul says, no, you've got this all wrong. That isn't how it works. That's not a good thing. So, but the other side of the equation is legalism. It's what happens when we think that following the rules is what it's all about. Paul says very emphatically, as Pastor Brian said last night in his sermon, Paul's really worked up in Galatians about this issue. He says, we are saved by grace through faith, and we're not going back. We're not going back. We're not going to fall back into slavery. That's not who we are. We have freedom in Christ. For freedom, he set us free, Paul writes. That's what it's all about. So what is Paul's solution? Well, it shouldn't surprise us that Paul's solution is the same as Jesus' solution, and that is love. He says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's all about. Now, I'm sorry to say that we live in a time when neither the government nor the culture can be counted on to reflect the love of Jesus. It's just not going to happen. In my experience, the world out there seems to swing back and forth between licentiousness and legalism, sometimes within the hour. It's almost more than I can take most of the time. It just swings back and forth between these two, what seem like polar opposites, but they're just two ways of really screwing up the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And we're too easily drawn to either one of them more often than not. And I see that coming from every side there is. It's coming from every side. Therefore, we will and do stand on the side of Jesus. And from that side, we will not waver. And that's why I continue to talk about Jesus and won't stop talking about Jesus, because that's who we stand with. That's who we will always stand with. We serve Christ and no other master. We've changed masters. That's what this text is. He says, you know, bind yourself to God. We don't bind ourselves to people or to parties or to ideologies or to anything else. We bind ourselves to Jesus, and in Him we have freedom. And we don't lose that freedom by going one way or the other that's gonna force us to lose that freedom. We are loved by Jesus Christ, and we love others in His name. That's what gives us our identity. That's what gives us our power. So as we approach the 4th of July holiday, I suggest that we continue to celebrate our freedom as Americans by living under the rule of the law, and knowing that we can celebrate that and can continue to stop at stoplights in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, when nobody's there. That's a good thing. And we celebrate our freedom in Jesus Christ by loving others even as Jesus has loved us. For as Paul says, that the whole law is fulfilled in that one word, in that one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, the freedom to love, to follow, to be a part of something so much bigger than we are or anything that the world has to offer. Help us to make that commitment to you, to look to you only, to enslave ourselves to you, that we might have real freedom. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.